ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us for tonight's Comic Book Club. And now, here are your hosts, Pete LePage, Justin Dahlberg.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And that's our man in the booth band. Oh, my goodness, guys. Big show tonight.
Huge show.
Thank
you for coming out, all of you.
Here. I'm very excited about. But one of the things we're going to be talking about throughout the show, because of one of our guests, is Avengers versus X-Men.
Oh,
Marvel.
Yeah. Kind of a big event.
Definitely going to be talking about that. So I'm curious, you guys. What side are you on? Are you Avengers or are you X-Men? Pete?
X-Men, definitely.
Oh, Avengers.
Yeah. What?
What?
Huh? Avengers, yeah.
Why
totally.
Would you say that?
Cyclops is a dick. Why are you backing such a dick?
You heard it here first.
Cyclops is a dick, but he's right.
Whoa.
Well, what do you guys think?
Who could handle that?
By applause, who's for Avengers? Who's for X-Men?
Wow.
Who's with me and for just good comic books?
Hooray!
Boo!
Just not just.
Oh, can you hear my boo on the microphone?
Yeah, no, that came through actually really loud and clear.
It's nothing personal. It is personal.
It was personal.
It's actually
definitely
very personal when I think about it.
Speaking of persons, that was the worst segment all time. Was that good?
Yeah.
Should I take that?
I think all the cameras just turned off.
Piano is actually just shut down.
Yeah.
Guys, I'm very excited about the guests we have. One is a correspondent for The Daily Show. The other is the editor-in-chief of Marvel Comics. Ladies and gentlemen, Al Madrigal and Axel Alonso!
Yeah. Have a seat.
Come on!
Come on! Come on!
Yes. Welcome, you guys. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Before we get into the comics, I'm curious, you guys...
We just realized we actually have everything in common.
Yeah.
Oh!
That's what I was going to ask about.
It's amazing because so we started talking about we were talking about kids and introducing kids to comic books, and then he said his son plays basketball. He is a 9-year-old. I have a 9-year-old. And he started talking about his son is this basketball phenom. At 9 years old, so much that his screensaver on
Classic.
His iPad is his son, like in this post-up, getting triple-teamed. It's creepy.
I asked God for so little, but I got that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So anyway, my son also is this, loves to play basketball, same kid. And then realized I saw the San Francisco shirt that he has. I'm born and raised in San Francisco, and I said, I went to SI. At the same high school that he went to.
Wow. 4 years.
Sports Illustrated High School?
Awesome. Yeah.
No wonder you guys like sports.
Yeah. So, we just were reminiscing, and we had no idea.
But on the other hand, you guys kind of have opposite interests in comics, right? I mean, obviously, you like Marvel, Axel.
Apparently, I imagine.
Al, on the other hand,
you're... And other than the movies, I'm not interested in Marvel at all.
Oh. So you're friends. You're friends, but also mortal enemies.
Well, you know, what's funny is you used to work at DC, right?
I did, as a matter of fact.
So how does that work? I don't understand. Let's explore that first.
Wow.
Is that like a Mac IBM thing where you are like
IBM?
Microsoft
Definitely
and you're Stone?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm in the middle of this Steve Jobs book. But how does that work? Did you get recruited away from?
Yeah, more or less. Basically, I work for Vertigo Imprint, which is sort of adult-oriented imprint.
Yeah.
And I was actually, you know, considering getting out of comics when when I was approached by Marvel.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Yeah. What were you going to do?
I'm
taking over the whole show.
Yeah, I know.
You're really Oprah-ing this show,
I was thinking of moving into book publishing, but I stayed in comics. I'm very happy.
Yeah.
Awesome. And so are they pissed over at DC that you went to the enemy camp? Yeah. I just wonder how, like, are they at Marvel? They're like, we're DC.
Well, it's sort of like Dell versus Commodore 64.
Exactly.
Is that what we're talking about here?
Exactly. That's what I should have said earlier.
Some people see
Jedi
Sith.
Interesting.
Star Wars reference.
Oh, yeah. Nice. You really won the crowd over there, Axel. Really,
you guys probably can't see this at home, but they're like, yes, I understand that. Thank you. Yes.
Everyone in unison.
I don't get computer references, but
so,
I get Star Wars references.
What is the relationship between the two companies?
Best friends. I mean, and it's fun. I think it's a lot of fun. You have two companies, you know, who boast the best superheroes on the planet duking it out. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. I like it this way. I always take it with a grain of salt. I think that everybody prospers if everybody's got their bringing their best game. You know, it's like basketball.
Here we go.
Get it,
your kids
You know we're going to have our sons play against each other for money. You know it. It's so happening.
They're going to be like, Dad, why? It's been 6 hours. Dad, who is this guy?
That's actually already happened in L.A. Have you ever heard of stories about Snoop Dogg and like the Pop Warner football team for their betting on the kids? Yeah. My son was playing football, and we live sort of in East L.A., and my son gets off the field, and he loves to play sports, and he runs off the field, and some big Mexican guy hands him $10.
Nice. And, like, and that's a classic warning sign.
I go, what the hell was that? And he goes, I made the most tackles. And he told me that if I made a lot of tackles, then I got $10. And so
wow.
I'm already, like, that was so 5 years
ago. Do you
ago.
Get, like, 10% of that? Or
yeah,
what's
exactly.
going on?
I get a cut.
Yeah, you were like, where's my buck?
Father.
Yeah,
where's my dollar? So... we have these kids in common, but we do not have... I'm just all DC comic books, I have to admit.
Well, you've been reading, to your kid, you've been reading, you said, Blue Beetle and who's he called, right?
I also love minor characters. I always have, like, I was trying to think about since Super Friends came out, when I was... I'm trying to think when I was little and I was watching stuff with my brothers. It was El Dorado. I always like, if it's an ethnic minor character, I'm like,
me
all
too.
Over it.
Me too. Luke really? Cage, Shang-Chi. Yeah. Yeah, all those guys. Yeah. Yeah.
So, any ethnic. So, the fact that Blue Beetle is just so perfect
Mexican,
for me.
Right?
Yeah, he's Mexican.
Yeah.
He's the Mexican superhero.
It's kind of sad.
Yeah. We got Blue Beetle.
I've got the Zapata brothers at Marvel.
Oh, that's awesome.
Rigoberto and Gustavo. They're Mexican wrestlers. Check them out.
I'm actually curious not to, interrupt a funny discussion.
And then this serious, love fest going on in the couch.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt you guys. We're here too. Okay with you. I'm curious though. There's obviously really a hunger for ethnic characters. There's a need for it, but they don't really seem to pop on the marketplace. Why is that?
Well, I mean, if you look at the way the industry was put together, most of the iconic characters were created in like the 60s and 70s.
Were all white.
And they were very much geared toward what was then perceived to be the audience at the time. It's worth noting that, the X-Men... which is of course analogous to other, started to incorporate many more. I hate the term people of color, but I'll use it here. God, I hate that term. You hate that term as much? Anyway, long and short.
I'm fine with it.
Yeah, you are. Yeah,
cool. Great, strong stance.
Yeah.
Well done, well done.
Alex was written in the 60s as well. So,
well, it's interesting because a lot of characters of different colors popped through the X-Men. It's interesting too that they became more popular in the 80s, which was the Reagan 80s, when most of our movies and pop culture is about guys like Schwarzenegger and Chuck Norris going back and beating up colored people to win wars. I don't know where I'm headed with that, but I think
keep going.
This is just our comfortable territory.
Speaking of wars and comic books, let's talk about Avengers versus X-Men.
Right.
So, first issue came out, big success so far. What was the reaction like on your end, and just at the launch and whatever, and what's coming up in the series for those who haven't necessarily picked it up or been hesitating?
Sure. Well, to be blunt, the reaction on my end was, thank fucking God, because I put my balls on a plate when I said, guys, we got to do this.
Literally?
And that's a literal thing in the Marvel office.
Yeah. Why would you do that? That's the way we roll at our editorial summit.
Yeah. DC doesn't do that. But
no room for gray area.
That's why you switched, right? Because DC didn't do that. That's long why short, I'm on this show.
No doubt. Long and short, though, is that I'm real relieved that it worked out. We decided this was a big enough event. It spans the universe now. It's the first big event we've done where the X-Men are all in, too. In the past, like Civil War and Secret Invasion, the X-Men either, found a way not to get involved by brokering a deal not to be involved in the war, or fought for their patch of land in San Francisco. So long and short of it is that, this is our first all-in event. It seemed like the kind of thing that required a different strategy, which is why we brought in so many writers and three artists and made the story biweekly, to keep that momentum going. And it's working out. We're thrilled with the sales and the reaction.
Which side are you on?
I can't be. I'm editor-in-chief. Huh? But I will say I was X-Men group editor, so I do.
All right. Eat it.
Yeah.
So, I will eat it. I'm going
good.
To eat
if
it.
You could eat it, that would be great.
Great.
You guys are obviously pushing very hard for this book. There was a lot of talk going into this about, there's a lot of mainstream press, a lot of things happening before the first issue. First issue sold really well. What are you guys doing to keep that up, to keep the interest up through 12 issues and over several months?
Sure. Well, it always starts with story, you know. And what we have in Avengers versus X-Men is a story that is broken into three acts. It's really three events rolled into one because, you know, that's what we're calling it round one, round two, and round three. Go ahead.
I was going to say, Al, what's going on over there? You seem very
frustrated.
How
are they going to do this? The event, they're outnumbered.
I know they really are.
I was saying that last week. It's so funny. There are like 25 Avengers.
Yeah.
Wolverine and Beast are like, we'll decide when we're ready.
Yeah, exactly.
And the X-Men are like, help, we're only six.
Yeah. Yeah, it isn't quite fair, on at least on that title page, is it? I know, I saw that a little too late.
Yeah. You're going to throw a couple extra mutants in there? Just
You guys know this series is only one issue long.
Yeah. And the X-Men are just like, we're really sorry about that. And they just get horribly apologies.
Now, I don't know if you guys in the audience, if you checked out the Marvel AR app, this is something that was shipped along with the issue.
And explain what that is.
The Marvel AR app is basically holds up an iPad or an iPhone to the issue, to certain pages, and it'll give you bonus content. Like you point it to the cover, it gives you a trailer for the issue. You point it to some pages, you can see the process of going through the inks and the colors and whatnot. Now, there
what
is...
if you hold up like a Razer phone to the comic?
It tells you to get an iPhone.
Oh, yeah. Oh. So that explains what happened to you.
But there is one page right towards the beginning where you hold it up and you walk across the comic page and introduce the comic.
Wow.
Yeah.
What was that like? Was it finally, ever since you were a little boy, you dreamed of walking across a comic page and
finally it
happened?
For the record, you've all seen that at this point? It's really lame.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. Well, my son's reaction was, Papa, you should really grow back your beard. So, that was the harshest review I got.
And you were like, go play basketball. Jeez.
Exactly. Look, I was told that they were going to do all these crazy special effects to make me seem charismatic and appealing, and none of those were used, so you got what you saw. You know?
There aren't a lot of filters on the editing software to actually make you more charismatic.
I'd have worn a different shirt, at least, if I'd known.
You thought they were going to Photoshop in a shirt?
I was told they were going to do a special effects, like there'd be swirling stuff around me, and evidently they didn't have the
budget. Aren't you in charge, though?
Yeah.
I'm a glorified middle manager.
He so just walks around the office with his balls on a plate. Like, what am I doing?
I haven't seen it, but I'm imagining that it was like one of those little pop-ups on HGTV. You know, where like guy comes in, it's like.
We're gonna enjoy it so far.
It's not that good.
Oh.
Well, where is it going? You know, obviously there's a strategy here in terms of bringing the AR app. There's also the Infinite comic, which we talked about last week.
Yeah, that's amazing.
What are you guys heading towards with this?
Well, yeah, I mean that's where there's good news. Is that you know. This is new technology that we're just learning how to use. It's like a box of crayons we're just discovering new colors in. And we have every you know faith that the stuff you're looking at now, whether it's some of the AR apps that are rough cuts of what we can do in the future or Infinite Comics, which I'll get to in a minute, is that it's like, you know, for video game aficionados, it's like Pong compared to what you're seeing right now. We're going to look back on this 2, 3, 4 months, 5 years, 6 years and go, wow, we did that? And I think that that's the thing. We're trying to be honest. We're learning about these things. We're experimenting. And fans will vote with their wallets, what they like, what they don't like. The key is that we're trying to make it a more immersive experience for the reader, add you know, added value features, all free, so that you can just get a little bit more out of your comic book reading experience.
Nice.
You know, we've got this thing called Infinite Comics, which you know, you may be aware that in the past we would create a comic book and then we'd convert it so it could be, you know, read on your iPad or your handheld device, but it was always, you know, we created it for the comic book page. Now with Infinite Comics, we're using the palette like a canvas, and we're using digital tools.
It's a big difference.
Yeah, like the paintbrush.
Yeah.
So again, it's done specifically for, and there's growing pains. We're learning how to do it.
Nice.
Yeah. Last little thing that I was just curious about, you know, I follow you on Twitter, and you tweet about other comic book companies and other comics a lot, and I was just, I guess, curious how you follow what's going on in the comic book industry. As the editor-in-chief, how do you reach out to other people? What are you following? What are you looking for from other companies so you can steal them and take them over to Marvel?
Yeah.
I don't think anything's changed since I was, you know, 5 or 6 years old and I would go into the, you know, Five and Dime and look at a comic book rack. I'll look at the cover. I'll pick it up. I'll look if a scene seems interesting or the art seems appealing. I'll take a closer look. If it doesn't, I don't. you know, that's the thing. The great thing about a comic book is you just start reading a few pages. If you like it, you keep reading. If you don't, you don't have to. And that's pretty much what I do now. My antenna is out. I keep an eye. I keep a close eye on the indies. A lot of talent gets developed there and built there. I, you know, keep an eye on the competitor as well.
Cool. So before we move on to our next section, Al, I wanted to ask you. You are playing Captain America.
That's right. That's it.
Yeah.
I'm in these farmers commercials, and I think it come out.
Farmers insurance.
Farmers
company.
Insurance.
Or you mean like pro corn? Like
yeah.
Go get them. Go farm.
Yeah. I'm anti corn.
When you think farmer, you think half Mexican guy from San Francisco. Yeah.
I'm half Mexican too.
Shut up.
You guys. I can legally marry people. Do you want to do this?
Are you really?
Yeah, my dad.
No shit.
Wow. this is weird.
Yeah.
That's great. And you got a beard.
Yeah.
Wait, both think of
best
a
friends.
Word.
Best friends.
Both think of a word.
So, no, back to you. So we shot these ads in a power plant, but we're doing this Avengers tie-in, and I got to Thor's black. The Hulk was 5 months pregnant, which I was texting.
Take that back. As a pitch.
I was texting back and forth with some Daily Show writers that are comic book fans and things that a pregnant Hulk would say, which I'll be doing on Twitter later. But it's hilarious because, they were if boy, I name Hulk. If girl, also Hulk.
Elliot Kalin.
Yeah, that's
anything.
Right. That was Elliot. But did that sound like an Elliot bit?
Yep.
Hulk, no eat sugar. Gestational diabetes. I got to play. I'll show you the picture, it's fantastic. We were in a power plant with J.K. Simmons, who you just talked about.
I think was he just there?
Yeah, he was
just,
well, he's
running the power plant.
He's the guy that's in all the farmer spots. And it was awesome. I got to dress up like they're all homemade costumes, but. Again, that's sort of what got me into comic books in the first place. I never made the football team, wanted to make the basketball team, all these sports teams, and walked sadly home and found a comic book store. I got to wear shoulder pads in this and a swim cap, and it was all homemade Avengers outfits.
Sweet.
Awesome. That's awesome.
Well, so there, big spoilers for the Avengers.
They come out tomorrow.
Great.
Nice. Oh, awesome.
All right, so definitely
just as good as the Avengers feature.
Was that? Yeah. Thanks, Al. I don't know. Have you seen it yet? Have you?
No, I've seen bits and pieces of it.
Yeah, I think we've all seen bits and pieces of it. Yeah.
That's the definition of a trailer, Axel. Jeez.
You may have actually seen more than me.
Yeah, we have so much in common, I already feel like I can give him
you're already
business.
Railing on each other.
Yeah, this is weird. Axel started, you start growing glasses out of your head. It's real strange.
But for the most part, I mean... with the 9-year-olds, what's gotten me back into it, I think I'm in a weird spot because of my wife. I was coming home with... Girls. I got back into comic books because my friend this guy Simon Oliver, who wrote The Exterminators. Do you read
that? Woo!
Yeah.
Woo!
And so I read all of those. Actually, I got this great moment where at my place in L.A., we have... Western exterminator that comes over, so I handed every single one of them to an exterminator.
It's like, the guys in the office will love this.
We've often dreamed of this day.
Shotguns and Mayan cockroaches. So I got back into it, then I found myself back in a comic book store and just started. I think at that point it was when the Blackest Night, Brightest Day came out. You don't know what I'm talking about.
Your friendship just ended.
I just started like gobbling up all this stuff and got back in immediately came home with like these stacks. It was Batman and Robin, and the thing I liked is like everything was just sort of starting for me. So I got to jump in at a starting point, and brought them home. My wife started adding up all of the amount. I'm not sure. I'm looking at the audience, and no one can relate to this. But when a woman
Wait.
You
got
to simplify it.
So, now we were waiting to have this talk in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. When they were older.
Yeah. No, my wife really is involved in all of my, like, it's this give and take thing where I give her shit about the finances, and then I come home with $45 worth of comic books, and I'm really not.
Are you saying she drew the, she drew the line before? Yeah.
She totally did.
Not to interrupt, but Boothman over there has been live tweeting the entire show, and I think you have a question.
Got three really quick questions.
All right, hit us.
From Nilo Taylor. Okay, if you were Matt Smith and in New York City for a Doctor Who film shoot, where would you shoot?
Oh,
boy. Come on, let's do it.
This is not in my realm.
Yeah, this is this supposedly Doctor Who is shooting around here. I'd say Washington Square Park. Nobody leave right now. Next question.
All right, next one is from Marvel Sucker. How do you guys think Avengers versus X-Men is going to end?
With a one winner.
Yeah. The X-Men.
The other book, the other books will just be canceled.
Yeah.
Right? No more. Yeah. Good night, X-Men.
All right,
good night, Avengers.
Yeah, we'll see.
Anything you can tell us? I don't know why I'm asking this.
Yeah.
Actual about where you're heading.
Like this.
Yeah. Cool.
We were so close.
Yeah.
We almost had him.
It's crack reporting, guys.
Right. Call Al tomorrow morning. He'll know the answer.
We're so close. Next question.
All right, last one's from TD Spidey 616. Inspired by the show 2 weeks ago, gotta ask, what do you guys think of bronies? Sorry, Pete. Smiley face, and then there's a smiley face.
Bronies are My Little Pony, like boys that play with My Little Ponies.
Or men. Yeah. Yeah.
Were you guys ever into My Little Ponies?
No. No, I heard that.
Pete admitted.
That seems like you were just a nice boy that wanted to play with a little girl.
Yeah, exactly.
You just want to play like a little girl.
Yeah.
That's cool.
All right, I think we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the Stack. All right, for the Stack, we have each made a pick, some comic book that we particularly like this week, and we're going to go to bat for it. Pete's pick is first, which is Invincible, number 90 from Image Comics.
Yeah.
You don't have to hold it up.
You can just read it.
We like to have editor-in-chiefs come by and be our showgirls.
Vanna White.
Pete, what did you like about this book?
Oh, man, this is a really exciting time in Invincible. A lot going down. I was really surprised by some of the twists and turns and who came to Invincible's aid.
Who? Dinosaur?
A giant dinosaur. Did you see that coming?
Yeah, no. They're friends.
They're friends.
Yeah, well...
So Invincible's black now?
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, he's Black Invincible.
Oh,
what?
There's a guy named Bulletproof who has the same powers as Invincible who's standing in for Invincible while he's sick.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah.
While he's sick.
We did a little something similar with Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Or does it ring a bell?
Yeah.
Captain America a few years ago. Anyway.
Probably unrelated.
It is
probably
funny. It was like, and it happened 2 issues ago. So it was like, all right. Like,
yeah. Well,
I know you're busy with Walking Dead, but.
What's funny about that is that he named the first panel, it's like the villain's Walking Dead. I was like, really? You're plugging your TV show? You don't think anybody's watching that show that you got to mention it?
It's a little cute. I actually think in Invincible, the villain that. The Bulletproof, the subbing in for Invincible fights, is called The Walking Dead. Yeah. And he makes a dig, I think, at Frank Darabont in here.
Does he?
Well, there's a whole dig about, like, he's terrible at first and then, or he was great at first and then terrible down the line or something. And I was like, it was such a weird move in the book.
Yeah.
Because it was clearly a very specific reference to something that I'm sure
Frank won't take any offense to that.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
Yeah.
There was also that line of dialogue where he says to the villain, he's like, I never liked Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah. Which seemed like a non
sequitur. Real weird, and I don't think anybody agrees
very
with
specific,
that.
Very specific, yeah.
It's real strange.
That's another villain in the comics.
Bulletproof, worth buying this. Bulletproof's girlfriend is super hot.
Yeah. But he also hits on somebody else's girlfriend.
Really?
And goes home to his uncle.
Yeah,
what
friend.
A jerk.
Yeah. Pete, that happens in the real world.
No.
Yeah. It happens. It's happening
maybe
right
in
now.
Your world.
It's happening in that room right over there.
Stop it. We got to go. Stop.
All right. Let's all go outside and have a serious talk with people who are here in the audience.
Everybody shut up in here. Who's cheating on the girlfriend? I'm in a relationship here.
Yeah, you do real well at bars.
Yeah, no, very popular.
I'm just right. on the page where Bulletproof does try to hit on the other chick. And it's
not
hilarious.
Cool.
It is
not
funny.
Cool.
He tries to kiss her, and she goes, "What? No, unless you want me to." It's like, who are you? He just tries to start making out with this chick. Which is my move.
Mine too, dude. Nice.
Yeah. What?
All right, let's move on with Justin's pick, which is Swamp Thing number 8 from DC Comics.
Swamp Thing, having some trouble, as you might know. He's his girlfriend is sort of on the complete opposite side of this battle between all of green life and all of rot in the entire world. And Swamp Thing grows fucking wings and a big wooden arm and wrecks a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, it kind of looks like Spawn with his big entrance.
Yeah,
and the wings there.
It was this is a great.
This is for the past 7 issues. This series has been building up. Where I'm totally blanking on the name of the actual guy.
Huh? Alec Holland.
Alec Holland, yeah.
Alex Zalbin.
Alex Zalbin. Actually, I just realized there's 3... No, you're Axel, not Alex. Al.
Ooh. Good, cool. That's
real cool, you guys.
Oh, shit, I bet Twitter's lighting up over there.
Oh, it's
I was
so
burning on the iPad.
Anyway, Alec Holland has basically said for the past couple of issues...
He's the 4th Alec on the show, oh,
this
sort of.
Crazy. We should have him on the show. That would be great. We'd have a lot to talk about, I bet. Anyway, Alec Holland has been saying, I don't want to be Swamp Thing for the past 7 issues. Finally, he's like, screw it, I'm dying. Let me become Swamp Thing. This issue is all action, and there's a lot of really nice payoff here. It was awesome. I think the art in particular, insane. Is this Yannick Paquette did this issue?
Yeah.
Great, amazing,
really cool.
Amazing stuff. Really, the amount of detail he puts into everything, you have these horrifying dead beasts attacking a guy who's essentially made out of plants, but the action is totally clear throughout, and I thought that was really cool.
I never thought I'd be so excited about a dude made out of plants, but it's pretty awesome.
Well, I'm behind on my Swamp Thing, but actually, worth noting, Swamp Thing was a comic book that actually brought me back into reading comics.
Really?
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Long story short, I was, I think, 19 years old. I was on a fishing boat in Alaska.
Wow.
And
that's awesome. What?
Department of Food.
Me too.
You're
the same person. Yeah, are you guys the same person?
Yeah. Captain, first mate. On
Capitan America.
What boat?
Long and short of it is that the Department of Food and Game came and raided our boat just to do a spot inspection. And so I had nothing to do. And I'm all, you know, drunk and just out of it, from sleeping, not sleeping. And there's a stack of magazines. And it's mostly, you know, chocolate
porno.
Singles and porn. Barely legal.
Yeah. Porn, a lot of porn.
But there's this coverless comic book. And I pick it up and I start reading it. And it's about a serial killer who remembers all of his victims by the color of their eyes. It was written by Alan Moore.
Yeah.
And I read it. I was like, holy shit, this is the coolest thing I've ever read. Comics have changed so much since I was a kid. And I went back down.
And then you dove off that boat and swam down to the lower 48.
Yeah, I found out that it was Alan Moore. But yeah, Swamp Thing has a place in my heart.
That's awesome. Really cool. Yeah.
That's also a crazy story, the beginning part of that. I love that you were like, boring story. I was on a boat in Alaska drunk when all these cops raided it. Let me get to the important part. I found a comic book, and everything just cooled right out.
All right, let's move on with our last pick, which is Daredevil 10.1 from Marvel Comics.
Oh, yeah.
This is my pick. I love Daredevil. Every single issue of this is pretty much a perfect comic book. Mark Waid is writing. This issue is the art by Javier Pulido. Is that it?
Yep.
Yes? Anybody?
Yes,
sure.
It is.
Awesome. Thank you.
No, Koi Fong.
Oh, it's Koi Fong for this issue?
Yep.
Okay. Well, anyway, the layouts in every single issue of this are amazing. This is a .1 issue, so it's an entrance issue. We get background on Daredevil, where he is, what's going on with him. He has this disc that has information on 5 superpowered crime families, and they're basically locked in stasis right now because they want that disc, but they don't want anybody else to make the first move.
So well, it's sort of funny because it's AIM, Hydra, another one, then like 2 sort of random ones. They're like sort of shitty. And then they show up and one of them just gets iced.
Yeah, but the story here, I think, is great. The thing that's so wonderful about this book, what Mark Waid is doing with this book, in this issue as well, is he plays around with Daredevil's other senses, which I feel like is something, surprisingly, I have not seen a whole lot with Daredevil, given how much of a focus that is of his character. Here we get Daredevil locked in a room with a villain. They're trying to distract the villain in this prison by playing sounds to, you know, just sort of subsonic sounds to keep him distracted. For Daredevil, it basically almost kills him while he's trying to interrogate the guy. It's really cool, really tense comic book, great cliffhanger at the end. Can't wait for what happens next. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think it's really good. Daredevil's blind.
Cool.
What?
That's why his other senses are heightened.
What's your thought on Daredevil right now, and how does it fit into the overall Marvel plan?
Well, Daredevil's been one of the big standout titles of the last couple of years. I know that for me, the thing that amazes me is that when Steve Wacker, editor of Daredevil, and Mark Waid pitched the book, they promised that what they were going to do was step out from under the shadow of Frank Miller. That, however, you know, fantastic the work of Bendis or Brubaker, you know, or Diggle had been on the book, or people that preceded them, you know, Joe Quesada worked with Kevin Smith, what have you, that always it had the feeling that they were paying an homage to and being very mindful of what Frank Miller had done, and they were going to step out from under that. They were going to get away from the heavy shadows and the noir
And the murder girlfriend,
the murder girlfriend, and the femme fatales, and the you know the themes of heaven and hell and redemption and what have you. They were going to make it a fun comic book again, and I said when I remember reading and telling Steve, right. I proved it because I thought it was great, but I said, you're really going to do this, right? And they did it, and they stuck to it.
Yeah,
And they did. They actually managed to give it. It's got its own swagger, its own feeling. It's unique. And it's, I think it's taught a lot of us a lesson.
Really looking forward to the crossover, the Punisher, Spider-Man, Omega Effect crossover coming up.
Looks awesome. It's
Have you seen it? Is it awesome? Is it exciting?
I've seen bits and pieces.
Yeah. Cool. How does it end?
That's a classic.
So this is definitely going to work. So.
I like the way you really creep up on that question. Gotcha.
Real subtle reporting. And that's it for the stack. All right, guys. We're going to move on with our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys out there make it up. It's your audience questions. And for that, we're going to go over to Booth Man. So, Boothman, what do you got for us today?
First question is for Axel. Ooh. Mad props for Infinite Comics. About time we saw some digital native stuff. What's next? And this is from Rosho from Brooklyn / Queens.
Nice. Right on the floor.
Double residence.
That's what they do.
Oh, wow. That's what they do?
So what do you think?
Sure. Well, in regards to Infinite Comics, I mean, what you've seen so far is our first attempt at doing Infinite Comics, and as you know, Mark Waid himself, who wrote the first Infinite comic, he tweeted recently, he's seen subsequent ones and he says, wow, why didn't I think of that? You know, again, we're just learning how to use this technology, we're learning how to use these tools, so I think the sky's the limit with Infinite Comics and with these apps. You know, the next time you see me walk across a a comic book page, I'll be wearing a different shirt, I'll have my beard, and there will be special effects, and I will seem charismatic.
That's the dream. That's the dream, right?
That's
right.
What we all want.
Beards.
Let's get the next question, then.
Next question. Would you want to see a villain book, as in they're the main character? And if yes, which one? And this is from Ben from Nottingham in the UK.
Oh, thanks, Ben. So what do you guys think? I feel like there are a lot of villain books out there. Is there one that you particularly like, or some villain that you would like to see go center stage?
The Shade is fantastic over at DC.
Yeah, that's a great book.
And he's sort of a villain.
He's pretty much a hero, I feel like, at this point.
Well... that concludes
perfect.
My answer to that
perfect.
Question.
What about you, Pete?
I think that, like, Stilt Man would be an amazing villain to really explore and flush
right.
out and, like, really have him dominate the world a while.
Yeah, like, really change it up. What if he had, like, really short legs?
Yeah.
Really curveball him.
That's pretty good. We're actually pitching this right now.
Yeah. I think he was
worse.
I think he was murdered, actually, Stilt Man.
Cool. Axel, what about you? Is there a villain book at Marvel that you particularly like
yeah,
right now?
Hands down, Bullseye. I think he's the coolest villain ever. He's smart as hell. I think that his physical power, you know, which is that he can, you know, hit a fly from 20 feet away with a dime, is only a part of who he is, I think. I think the real skill is he's able to see the angles in any situation. And I think he has a lot of fun with life. I think he loves. I think he's
with murder.
He eats well. He's drinking that wine.
But he loves it.
He loves brunch.
Yeah, you know, he's not the nicest guy, but he's interesting. Yeah.
But he's also dead right now.
Whoops.
Maybe him and Stiltman.
Scratch that idea.
Al, what about you? Any villains you'd like to see take center stage?
You know, I try to think of all my minor character villains. Green Goblin, you think it would be great? Yeah.
I'm trying to think of a Mexican villain.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm just trying to think of all Booster Gold's.
All Booster Gold's villains?
Yeah.
All of them?
No, if there's three really funny ones. Is it Captain Boomerang? Is it Captain Boomerang?
Captain Boomerang is kind of a Flash villain.
Is he a Flash? He is a Flash villain.
He's a Flash villain.
Yeah.
No, you're right. He is a Flash villain. I'm trying to think of a. No, I again with I was just trying to think of something funny. Didn't come.
Cool. Let's get the next question.
Can I just say you guys are wearing the same type of shoes? Did you notice that? That's really weird.
Nikes.
It is weird.
Nike's
so
a pretty big shoe.
The point being weird.
They're the same model. Shut
you
up.
Guys are both wearing clothes.
We're also wearing jeans.
Yeah.
Whoa. Me too.
That's pretty weird.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, we'll see about that.
All right, let's go to the next question.
Who would win in a fight, digital comics, single issues, or trades, and which has the strongest future? And this is from Daniel and Queens.
Oh, thanks, Daniel and Queens. What do you guys think? Who would win in a fight, digital comics, single issues, or trades?
Talking kickboxing?
We're talking like weapon, no powers?
Mixed martial arts, I think.
Okay, mixed martial arts.
MMA. Yeah. Gotcha. Krav Maga? Krav Maga?
That's a real thing.
I know. I'm plugged
You're
in.
Pronouncing it right,
No,
too.
I know.
I think they'd all team up to beat up books.
Yeah, that's right.
Books suck. I think
Let's go beat those fucking books. I think digital comics.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, asking about what the future is, it's sort of the way it's going to go eventually, according to pretty much everyone.
Except for Pete.
Nope.
What's going to ruin in a fight, Pete?
I'm going to say single issues.
Nice.
Yeah,
they can turn their staples into little shivs.
Yeah.
Jab them.
I'll cut you, man.
There's your Mexican
supervillain.
Completely
super unnecessary. Yeah.
I mean to do it like that.
What do you guys think? What would win in a fight?
That's a ridiculous question. Yeah.
Well, if you had a choice, how would you read a comic?
No, I'm still. You know what? Actually, today, I was told I could get a password for free, or somebody was going to give me a password to get on.
Is this a dude at one of your kids' basketball games?
Hey, bro,
do you want a password?
Yeah, you're somebody the most tackles. Bro.
Give me a little password to that.
Brazzers and fucking DC.
I don't get that joke.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, no one here gets that Brazzers joke.
So.
I'm putting my mask back on.
Good.
Was that embarrassing? You totally turned red during that.
I'm a prude. You wouldn't note it, but
so and then how'd you know what that word meant? The reference.
Yeah.
I just think I was looking today for what the best is. There a preferred reader, or is each company has their own? Pretty much, is that how that's going, or is there?
Everybody's exploring all the options, really, is what it comes down to.
And what are the prices like? I mean,
at this point,
money?
The price of digital is comparable to print.
Yeah.
And, you know, that might change down the road. You know, my answer to the fight question is pretty much what you said. I think that they'll fight it out for a while, and then they'll all team up to fight against everything else. I think that digital and print are complements. They're not competitors. I just know, like, for me, I don't buy CDs anymore, and I only download music because it's music. Yeah. I was never one of those guys, those creepy hippies who read the liner notes on a record. I don't care about that kind of shit.
Wow.
You know? Sorry, creepy hippies.
Yeah.
But,
Pete.
But I think that...
It's the saddest I've ever seen you.
Did he just totally call you a creepy hippie?
Yeah.
You can't be a hippie.
So, I gotta say,
shaved into a shape. You shaved
follow
your
up,
neck.
What liner notes are you reading?
It's
Third Eye Blind liner notes?
Blue Oyster Cult.
Yeah. ELO. Blue Oyster Cult.
Blue Oyster Cult. Yeah. How do I know?
Great liner note.
No, but I just don't want, I mean, and I think this comes from, you know, kids and a wife, and again, no offense. But
not offended, just confused.
Just kidding. Yeah.
What does that even mean?
What's that? No, I just I'm talking out.
Your wife's like, only reading trades, man.
No, she. I mean, just all of the. I think it's like the clutter aspect of it. Like,
yeah.
And to have everything around, and I know, but that you know, look.
No, it's true.
I'm at
I
a
live
point
in
my life that I need to like. I can't keep all of this shit. Yeah, like, yeah. I really can't. As much as I'd like to, I just can't have everything around. And you have, one of the greatest gigs ever where you have access to everything in your office. But, I mean, with it, when you have, like, I have such a small space that I've been allocated in my house that I just can't. So the idea of having, like, an e-reader where I can look at all this stuff is very appealing.
Nice.
Does everybody else feel the same way? I mean, is that...
well, I wish. I honestly like. I should take a picture of what my room looks like because there are so many comics that they're leaking onto the bed, like on top of the bed.
They're gonna bury you.
No, I will die. I will be found as bones.
And we will leave you there,
comics, huh?
And that is where you will lay.
Well, that's my. I wrote that as a wish.
Yeah. So, buried but at some point, books? You're gonna have to either move into a larger space or deal with,
live alone for the rest of my life.
Yeah, yeah.
Or right. Die miserable.
Yeah. Or marry your comic books.
I don't know how that would work out in a lot of other aspects of my life.
Do you love them?
Yes.
Then what does it matter? Let's get the last question.
All right, last question, everybody. This is from Andrew in the Bronx. How are you?
Oh.
Thanks, Andrew.
Really nice.
Good. How are you guys doing?
Got a 1,000-yard stare from Axel.
Great.
I'm doing great. I just found a new and old love, reconnected.
That's really wonderful. And that's it for your audience questions. Woo! All right, guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Yeah.
All right. So, in the Week in Geek, we're going to hit some pop culture topics, things going on elsewhere in the world of geek. First thing we're going to talk about, this is big news the other day. We've been wondering what's going on with Iron Man 3, the movie.
Oh, yeah.
And rumor came out that Ben Kingsley may be playing the villain or one of the villains in Iron Man 3. So, what do you want to see Ben Kingsley playing in Iron Man 3, and are you excited about seeing him in the movie?
That he's a great villain.
He's a great actor, yeah.
Yeah. No, he's a great villain. He's a villain first and an actor second.
What do you guys think? Are you excited about Ben Kingsley and Iron Man?
Yeah, 3? Yeah. I mean, Sexy Beast is a big fan of that movie.
Whoa.
Yes,
whoa.
Fucking way.
No, that's Ben Kingsley in the audience right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the movie with Leonardo DiCaprio where it was on a
Titanic.
Prison?
Titanic.
No. It was in a prison. Ben Kingsley
what's
was
eating Gilbert Grape?
No. Huh?
Titanic?
No, okay, never mind. You guys are hard to talk to.
It just came out in 3D.
Basketball Diaries.
Cool. Shutter Island, and Ben Kingsley's like, she just floated away in the wall. It's like really, it's chilling. It's like the chilling part of that
so
movie.
So you want him to play that part in Iron Man 3?
Well, he doesn't have a lot of powers besides being vaguely creepy. And he's like a mediocre psychologist in that movie.
Perfect. Perfect foil for Tony Stark.
Yeah.
Great. That's going to be good.
Well, right. What possible villain could he play?
They've been talking about that they're possibly going to do the extremist storyline that Warren Ellis wrote, where Iron Man got an armor that basically was part of him, and that was probably misremembering the storyline, but the nanotechnology kind of gets corrupted by a scientist who releases it as a virus. The virus infects Iron Man. That's what happens.
That would make sense. So, he's the main character.
Iron Man isn't really in it.
Yeah.
It's basically just this guy, and he's like, nanotechnology, what do you think?
Yeah.
And that's it for 6 issues.
Nice.
So that guy.
So he's gonna be a computer program.
Yeah, the other rumor, a lot of people are wondering if maybe he'll play the Mandarin in the movie.
Which is sort of fucked up, but he would be evil.
Yeah.
He'd be straight up evil.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on. Other thing that's going on. Captain America 2 is going to hit theaters on April 4th, 2014, you guys.
Oh, man.
So can you handle the wait?
No, I'll be dead by then.
Yeah. What do you want to? What are you looking forward to in Captain America 2? What do you want to see them do in the next movie?
Well, it's all sort of hinging on Avengers, right? Like, is he going to be in the modern day?
Is he going to survive?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. What if he dies? And what's the second
Well,
movie?
Let's ask Al. You're playing Captain America.
What do you got planned?
You know, I've signed so many different non-disclosure agreements that I'm not able to discuss this. But, yeah, what are they going to do?
Axel, let's turn it over to you.
Yeah. had somebody with insight.
Yeah.
I'm actually curious.
Bits and pieces of it. So.
What is the coordination like at this point between the movie entertainment division and the print division?
Well, what the Kevin and his crew frequently consult with us, and they fly us into LA, or we do video conferences to talk about, you know, the characters and new developments in the movie. And I'm sure that they throw away 90% of what we suggest, but you know, we're part of. We do consult. We're not irrelevant, but we're not key players in the movies. Joe Quesada, who's chief creative officer, is now slightly more involved in that aspect. But I'm more involved in print.
Okay. So you know what's going to happen in Captain America 2, then?
I actually do know a lot. Yeah.
You only know what's going to happen in the Ghost Rider films.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on with another news story.
Heartbreaking. That's really heartbreaking.
There is a company called Firebox, I believe, out of the UK, that is going to allow you to be made into your own superhero action figure. For only $125, you can have your face put on an action figure of either Wonder Woman, Superman, the Joker, Batman, or Batgirl.
Wonder Woman.
Batgirl.
Lifelong dream, Wonder Woman.
If you could have your face put onto any superhero, who would it be?
So what are they doing? You're going to have to explain this.
Okay, basically what it is they have these action figure bodies, right? And then they have a blank head.
Sure.
And then using a picture of you, they take lasers and put the photo of you on the head of the action figure.
Besides the lasers, it's what a bully would do when you were in, like, eighth grade.
No, but it sounds like, you know, what we used to do at Pier 39. I used to put my face on, you know, like a Japanese magazine cover or...
Whoa.
That's the one I picked.
So
but, you know what I'm saying? Like, the muscle guy, this is how long is it? I mean, is it a short?
How long is it?
How long?
Is it, no, it's a figure. You can, just, like, play
yeah, it's
with
an
it.
Action figure.
Oh, they're making action figures?
Yes, action figures.
Oh,
welcome
that's
back,
awesome.
So you were like, what's that laser going to do to that magazine?
Yeah. Oh, that's incredible. That's awesome. But what are my character choices again?
You could be Wonder Woman, Superman, the Joker, Batman, or Batgirl.
Ah.
$125 each.
They only have one of each.
What are you going to do with the fucking Batman? It could be anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's
you're
going to
really focus on your
lips.
Teeth. You're going to really get your teeth right.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, you're right. That is sort of
And how
ridiculous.
Much does it cost?
$125.
What the fuck?
You know what? We'll email you the rest of this information.
No, I just... It doesn't make sense. What a ripoff. That's so a lot mad. Of money. I just don't see... I mean, with the Batman... I'm sorry. I'm exhausted.
Dude, lay down, man.
Yeah, cool. I was.
Yeah.
We're sorry that we woke you up for the show.
Sorry, I mean, just carve a bar of soap. It's just as good.
Yeah.
I grew up in the country.
I would say the Joker.
The Joker?
Yeah.
Of course.
That fits.
All right. Axel?
Hulk.
I don't know if he was one of the choices.
No, he's not even a choice.
Yeah.
You'd make your own, though, right?
I'd be bearded Batman. Al-Qaeda Batman.
Wow. Nice.
Awesome. Last little item to talk about. There's another movie thing about Marvel. Big rumor that came out this week. There was a post on a blog called Blue Sky Disney that said the projects competing, this is talking about upcoming Disney projects, the projects competing for 2014-15 are an uber secret film from Don Hall, who directed Winnie the Pooh, which will be marvelously unexpected project if it ever gets the green light. So a lot of blogs and a lot of film blogs were talking about, is this going to be the long-promised Marvel-Disney collaboration animated project? What do you guys think? And if so, what would you like to see from a Marvel-Disney animated movie?
I don't know if you guys watched Winnie the Pooh, but a lot of the seeds were planted during that to really lead you to...
There was the last scene. Nick Fury comes out and says, Winnie the Pooh, I want to tell you about the Avengers.
You got to wait. It's after the
Piglet. Come here. I'm recruiting you for a secret super soldier program.
Yeah. Piglet turns into the Punisher and it gets crazy.
Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah.
And it just still doesn't work somehow.
Yeah. It's weird. Yeah, the Frankencastle.
What do you guys think? What would you
Piglet
like to
gets
see?
All cut up.
What if you could push through any project to Marvel Animated to do as a movie? from a current comic book or past
you're
comic
saying,
book.
So the question is different now because I know a little bit about the thing you're talking about.
I knew it.
It's more about like what I would like to see. Hypothetically, got nothing to do with what have you.
You can tell us what we're actually going to see.
Nothing to do with what's actually happening, but if
Marvel,
it does
Disney,
line up.
Okay.
Yeah.
And team-ups like Deadpool versus Goofy are out of the question because that's too... the legal aspects are
that's amazing! Holy shit!
Yeah. I know.
Deadpool.
Yeah.
Boy, that's a tough one. I'm trying to think. Howard the Duck was such a mess the last time.
Right.
But I would be curious, you know?
Yeah.
Howard the Duck, Donald the Duck.
I like a lot of the silly characters. Like, I like Ant-Man a lot. I think he's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You know? That's my answer.
Interesting. Very
cool. Any choices?
Don't even go to me.
How much was that dog?
Oh, yeah.
How much to make the 100, movie?
Figure,
125,
I mean.
Yeah. Don't call it a doll. Pete lit up when you said doll, but that's because
he's
not a doll. He's an action
brony.
Figure.
Yeah. All right, I think that's it for the week, Guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Peter LePage.
All right. Guys, this is the part where we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like a chance to win $25 free? Yes, you, first hand up guy.
Yeah, nice.
Come on up here. All right. What is your name, sir?
Mike.
Mike, audience. Audience, Mike.
What up, Mike?
Whoa.
All right. So, Mike, that's going to be your gift card you might win.
Okay.
This is how it's going to work, all right? I'm going to read you a question. You listen to all three possible answers.
Okay.
Go 3 for 3. Gift card yours.
Sounds good.
All right. Today's trivia is on Avengers versus the X-Men.
Ah. Okay.
Here we go. Question number one. Use the music. It helps. Okay. What is causing the rift between the X-Men and the Avengers? Is it A, Magneto, B, the Phoenix Force, or is it C, the overpopulation of deer in this country? So it's either A or it's B.
I'm going to go with B, Phoenix Force.
B is nice. Correct. Okay, Captain America wants to take Hope to where? Is it A, into protective custody, B, into the negative zone, or C, just go to Wendy's? So it's either A, protective custody, which is correct but doesn't make any sense, or it's B, the negative zone, which would make more sense.
I guess B, negative zone.
Or you would pick A, which doesn't make sense but is the correct answer.
Yeah, I'll go with A.
A is correct.
Wow.
In issue number one, who falls from the sky? Is it A, Thor, B, Nova, or C, what? The sky is falling? Run for your life! So it's either A, Thor, don't pick A, or it's B, Nova.
Oh, gee, is it B, Nova?
Yes, it is, Mike! $25 free. Congratulations.
Well played.
Amazing.
That is some trick question work there.
Yeah, that was real tough, Pete.
Yeah, it was tough.
All right, guys, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. Pete, what's your big pick?
I'm going to go with Deadpool number 53.
Oh.
But my mind is blown with the idea of Deadpool and Goofy teaming up.
Yeah.
It's really
And in Deadpool 53, Deadpool maybe actually dies.
Yeah.
This issue. What do you think? Is
so it would
die?
Just be called Pool.
Yeah. And it would be, well, summer's coming, so it's pool season.
Tied into spring and summer, yeah.
There you go.
It's great. I'm looking forward to Secret Avengers number 25. Been an awesome story arc. Rick Remender just took this over. And all the, like, robotic villains from the Marvel Universe have all been conspiring, and they live in this crazy world. And the Secret Avengers are getting wrecked in it. And Venom's supposed to come and figure shit out.
Nice. I thought you were going to pick Saga number 2.
Also, I'm looking forward to that.
Amazing.
I have a big art. I have room for 2 comic books.
There you go. Definitely pick up Saga number 2. My pick, actually, can I tell you guys a quick story? Is that okay?
Sure. Let's do this.
My pick is actually Amazing Spider-Man Hookie number 1 is coming out tomorrow.
Okay.
When I was 9 years old, I got a chance to go to the Marvel offices and get a little tour around and get to meet everybody. I was like, hey, whatever. I don't really get this. I'm 9 years old. And then at the end of the tour, I was in an editor's office. office and he said, hey, I have...
Someday I'm going to start a comic book show.
And he was like, that'll never work, kid. Yeah. But he said, what he actually said was, hey, I have a box of comics in the corner of my office. Grab whatever you want to take it home. And suddenly I was like, and grabbed
you
everything.
You were eating them?
That's really weird.
One of the ones that I grabbed was Amazing Spider-Man Hookie, which was one of the original graphic novels that came out way back in the day from Marvel Comics. And it's been out of print pretty much since then. It's awesome. If you never picked it up, it's almost this fairy tale-like thing meets horror where Spider-Man meets a little girl, gets sucked into a magical world. She's being terrorized by this little beast that starts off as like a little cockroach. But every time Spider-Man beats it, it comes back bigger and more horrifying.
Maybe that's the Disney tie-in.
Yeah. Anyway, it's superb. If you've never read it before, amazing art, amazing writing, definitely pick it up.
And that was in like 1964?
When you were nine.
When I was nine.
Yeah, when you came from the 60s.
Yep, there we go.
There you go.
Axel, what about you? What are you looking forward to?
Avatar Press has a book called Crossed Badlands.
That's so messed up.
It's written by Garth Ennis and drawn by Jason Burroughs. And every once in a while, Garth Ennis, who is, of course, famous for Preacher and his long run on Punisher, when you define the Punisher. I think he's – when Garth is on, I think he's one of, if not the best and most literate writers in the business. Crossed is amazing. I highly recommend you go out and pick up the first trade or hardcover. Yeah. It's the basic setup. I won't do it justice, but basically, it imagines a world in which inexplicably people are stricken with a virus, which disfigures their face, leaving a red cross across their face. And at that point, then they're nothing more but to call them walking IDs doesn't quite sum it up. They are your worst nightmare on earth. They're berserker, crazy, horny, murderous, rampaging, but just smart enough to track you down and rape you while they kill you.
Wow.
And they hang out in packs.
Who wants to read this book?
Axel, loving this. The way you just told that story was like you were there. Yeah. Like, that was scary.
Just two things, actually. Boring, but not.
I was on an Alaskan boat. This cross dude rolls up.
That's not the interesting part of the story.
With the cop.
There's two things I always do. When I meet someone, especially with another guy, as I wonder who would win in a fight.
I'm so terrified right now.
Huh? Who would win in a fight?
Every time? What's your answer with each of us?
I'm not going to go through that. Okay. That's just
That's fair. I think I already know the
answer. Nothing good comes of it. But I'm always honest, too. Like, I'll think, this guy, I'm stronger than him, but he looks like he could absorb pain better than me. Right. So that's one question I do a lot. The second thing I do is I imagine how you'd fare in a zombie holocaust. You know, everything stripped away, society stripped down.
That's what you think about when you meet somebody?
Seriously.
Pete, you think about this stuff. Come on.
At some point in time, if I know you within the first month, I'll say, oh, you're cannon fodder for the zombies. So, in that context, Cross is my dream book because it's about imagining how you'd fare this world. How do you navigate this world? And again, back to the point of the book is what's beautiful about it is Garth has built this world that is literally the scariest thing you can possibly imagine. And he populates it with characters who are devoid of the crass sentimentalism you see in most Hollywood movies. They are looking to survive. They're making hard choices. They make really difficult choices. And you always believe what they do.
Yeah.
And it's amazingly stirring because even in this environment that's devoid of any hope or love, there's still something there. It's an amazing accomplishment.
Yeah, it is.
And
it's very good.
So beautifully as well.
And David Lapham picked up after Garth and wrote two wonderful volumes as well. But Cross Badlands is Garth's return.
And it is really good. I've been reading it. It's great.
To that world. Yeah.
And in terms of Marvel stuff, anything you want to plug, things people should be checking out?
Well, I would say that Jason Aaron and Steve Dillon's final hardcover of their run on Punisher Max is really
good. Very good.
Yeah.
They kill the Punisher. He's
but it's such an amazing way.
Yeah,
you don't get angry about it.
It's a four arc story where they built the story of him. And as Jason explained to me over hot dogs in Coney Island one day, we have to kill him. The way that the story ends, it doesn't end with him walking away. It doesn't end with other people walking away. It ends with death. This is where it ends. And he sold me on it, and he wrote it, and it's great.
Cool.
That's awesome.
Al, what are you looking forward to?
Well, Cross. And I just really quick, how do I fare in the zombie apocalypse? Because I know in my head that I fucking kick ass. I
should have qualified that. It takes me a little while to get a read on someone.
Okay.
Sometimes your first impression isn't quite right. In the fight, too, I've been wrong. Oh, no, I was totally wrong. He'd kick my ass. Long and short of it is that I don't know immediately, but I will know within that first month. So
I keep two hammers under my bed.
You'll probably hammers. Fair fine.
Okay. Yeah, awesome. No, I go double hammer.
Half of your hammers, right now.
If
double
you want to figure hammers. Out how Al would do, just figure out how you would do.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, what comic book, it's a Marvel comic book since I came out on the DC side of things. What do you recommend that I read?
Ooh. Well, it depends upon your taste.
We already talked about I liked these minor characters.
Gotcha. I mean, if you're looking for something more serious, I think that Garth Ennis is Punisher is a wonderful place to start.
No, I love him.
You know, Garth Ennis's Punisher run is a place to start. It's very accessible. When I think
not
of
the most Booster Gold character.
Yeah, exactly.
No. And I don't need. But yeah. I mean, I read The Goon, and
that's awesome.
Guys at Work got me into Fear Agents, and there's other stuff that I do read. But I'm just saying,
there's a lot of things. Joss Whedon's Astonishing X-Men run with John Cassaday is amazing. Very good.
You guys agree with that?
Okay. It's very accessible. You don't really need to know the X-Men to get into it. You know, I'm trying to think. I don't want to be unfair. There's so many good runs. Ed Brubaker's running Captain America is very popular. He really does an amazing thing with the character as well. I could go on and on. If you're looking for something lighter, I really love what Peter Milligan and Mike Allred did with the X-Force team. They did a hostile deconstruction of the X-Men paradigm Ecstatics. Many years ago. It turned into Ecstatics. It's very wry, tongue-in-cheek.
But you guys are nodding on every single
he's
one.
Right. He's good. Right. He's right.
No, but how can you afford to do this?
We can't.
Yeah.
Get a comic book shirt.
This is my only clothing that I own.
Yeah.
Right
here. And he wears his vest every time. That's all he's got.
We sleep actually in a big bed together.
Al, plug some of your stuff. What should people check out?
I'll put some on my Twitter at almadrigal.com. I'll put out those Captain America pictures.
Yeah.
I'll do it right now, but Hulk really is 5 months pregnant.
That's so funny.
Hilarious, yeah. And a very funny actress. And then they did a group shot, but those start running tomorrow. And then The Daily Show, I think I have a piece airing tomorrow night. When will this be posted?
Don't worry about it.
This will be a week and a day, 8 days from today.
Oh, okay. So go back, go to thedailyshow.com, and look at this piece that I did on personhood in Oklahoma. There's war on masturbation piece that I have.
Nice. That's why you had Brazzers so ready.
Yeah, it was research.
We called the piece Bro Choice. I'll put that on my website as well, almadrigal.com.
Awesome. Would you say your balls are really on the plate about that?
Zing.
No. Cool. Couple of things before we go. Next week on the show, we're going to have a very special guest from Saturday Night Live. Bill Hader is going to be here. So that should be pretty awesome.
You got to have him do his Alan Alda impression.
Yeah.
I think it's really one of the I think
I'm pretty
the
sure that'll
impression.
Naturally come up in the conversation.
Yeah, people are always screaming for everyone's Alda on this show. So we'll definitely get that going.
A couple of things to plug. If you're watching this online, please subscribe to youtube.com/Nerdist. There's probably a little button up here. If you're listening online, hey, just go to youtube.com/Nerdist and subscribe there. Why not?
Yeah.
A couple of other things. Pete.
Friend us on Facebook so you get to hear about all the amazing guests we have on the show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Yeah, and you can check us out at comicbookclublive.com and also on Nerdist.com for the podcasts and more. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Axel for being on the show.
Yeah.
Al. Boothman. But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at Piatto's in New York. Please tell your friends good night.
That was fun.